3, hit it!
Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is the simplest negotiation strategy in the world and the numbers to call to get coaching on having what you want and thriving in every area of your life are 866-254-1579. It's toll-free in the United States and Canada, 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach the show by dialing your country code and then 760-918-4300. And as always, I like to begin by sort of setting the table. And today I want to set the table by talking about an experience I had with some negotiation, a different way of thinking about negotiation recently. And it's interesting. Obviously, we all grow up negotiating from the time we're little children. We negotiate with our parents for, you know, how much food we have to eat, you know, how much yucky vegetables we have to eat before we can get dessert, you know, how long we can stay up. And then that goes into how much allowance do we get. And we carry on negotiating pretty much in every area of our life. As far as I know, until the day you die, I haven't actually reached that day, touch wood. But in theory, so it's negotiation is such an intrinsic part of life that we almost don't notice it. And because we almost don't notice it, we don't pay much attention to it. Now, I consider myself as somebody who is fair at negotiations. In other words, I'm not the most brilliant negotiator in the world. And I'm not the worst negotiator in the world. But I have over the years taught courses throughout Europe and in South America on negotiation and emotional negotiation. So I'm an experienced negotiator, which is why it was such a surprise to me recently when I read a book by a guy named Stuart Diamond called Getting More: How to Negotiate to Achieve Your Goals in the Real World. And I really enjoyed the book. And I don't pick up those kinds of books very often anymore, but this one just, it caught my eye. And there was one idea in there that was so simple, that was so straightforward, that I almost thought, oh, there's no point in even trying that. I almost skipped it. And I'm so glad that I didn't. And over the course of the next 5-10 minutes or so, I'm gonna share what that is and why I'm glad that I didn't skip it. If you want to go ahead and get in the queue for calls, I'm going to be going to the phones later in this segment. The numbers to call again, 866-254-1579, toll free in the United States and Canada. And from outside the United States, you can reach the show on 001-760-918-4300. Here's the section of the book that I almost breezed right past. It's called Goals Are Paramount. Goals are what you want at the end of the negotiation that you don't have at the beginning. Clearly, you should negotiate to meet your goals. Many, if not most people, take actions contrary to their goals because they're focused on something else. They get mad in a store or relationship. They attack the wrong people. In a negotiation, you should not pursue relationships, interests, win-win, or anything else just because you think it's an effective tool. Anything you do in a negotiation should explicitly bring you closer to your goals for that particular negotiation. Otherwise, it is irrelevant or damaging to you. Now, that's pretty simple. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to play with that and see if it really makes any difference, because I must already do that. I'm a goal-oriented guy. I'm a coach. I've taught negotiation, for goodness sake. That must be something I already do. So I just decided to try in a variety of situations to get really, really clear about what I wanted going in. And I'm going to share three quick stories. And each one, I had a goal that wouldn't count as a goal. It wasn't a SMART goal. It wasn't necessarily stated in the positive. It wasn't necessarily something that I'd really thought through and I wanted it 100 out of 1 to 100. It was just what I decided I wanted as my goal for the purposes of these three negotiations. And the first one was not being charged for a dentist visit that I didn't make. So I had to miss a dentist visit, and, you know, your dentist, probably same as mine, has a 24-hour cancellation policy, and I canceled with less than 24 hours. And I thought, oh, this is a simple place to try this. It's no big deal. So, okay, I want to not be charged for this session. So I got on the phone with the receptionist, and I explained that I wasn't going to be able to make it, and said, well, that's, you know, okay, we'll reschedule. Obviously, there's a charge for that. And I said, well, what would it take for there not to be a charge? I hadn't really thought this through, but I just thought, well, okay, you know, let's check the possibility. And she said, oh, well, I mean, we do just, it's something that we charge for. And I said, well, I get that, but, you know, what would have to happen for you to not charge? And she thought about it for a minute, and she said, well, you know what? We don't have to charge you. That's fine. So that was it. Entire length of negotiation, about a minute and a half, result saving about probably $7,500. So I thought, okay, well, that was kind of cool. That was kind of cool. Let me play with this somewhere else. So I got a, I had to take my car in for a service, and the service was going to cost about $125. And then they called and they said, right, you need new front brake pads, and you need new, I think it was rotors. I mean, the fact that I'm not even sure tells you how little I actually know about cars. And it's going to be $650. And I would have normally just said, fine, do it. You know, safety first. But I just thought, okay, let's play with this simplest negotiation strategy in the world. All I'm going to do is make sure I'm really clear about my goal, and I'm just going to do whatever it takes to get that goal. In other words, I'm not going to take actions contrary to my goals, and I'm just going to make sure that anything I do in this negotiation is going to explicitly bring me closer to my goal for the negotiation. And all I wanted, I didn't even have an amount of money in mind. I just wanted to not feel taken advantage of. Because that's normally when I take my car in, because I don't know much about cars, I feel like somehow I'm being taken advantage of. And I just thought, okay, I don't want to feel taken advantage of. So I thought, okay, well, if that's what I want, how would I know? And I thought, well, I'd need to know what's right. So I went online and I looked up rotors and I looked up brake pads and how often they should be changed. And it said online, well, brake pads, you'd normally change every 20 to 40,000 miles, and rotors about 60,000 miles. And my car only had 30,000 miles on it. So I phone the guy back and I say, hey, I'm just curious, how long has it been since I last had my pads changed? And the guy said, oh, it was such and such a date about 10,000 miles ago. And I said, well, that's really curious because, and I fibbed, okay? Just so you know, I fibbed. I said, well, you know, because on my last car, it was like 20, 30,000 miles before I had to change pads. And the guy said, well, yeah, that is more normal. And I said, you know, and I'm really surprised the rotors need changing because, I mean, I'm sure on my last car, I didn't change them until I was about 60,000 miles in. Again, I'm sorry, I was reading off the internet, but, you know, I was playing. I was in support of my goal, not to feel like I was being taken advantage of. And, you know, the guy immediately went, you know what? You're quite right. They shouldn't have worn out yet. Let me go back to the garage and check. And it turned out that there was this possible problem with the brakes and rotors, and they weren't even sure if there was really a problem, but they decided to replace another part and give me the whole thing for free. So now I'm $575 up, maybe $600 up from these two experiments, and I'm thinking, this is pretty cool. And I decided, okay, let me see if this works like with my wife. So just before I tell that story again, Jonathan Windsor, you're both in the queue. If you want to get in, numbers to call 866-254-1579, toll free in the United States and Canada. So Nina and I are chatting, and I suddenly, you know, I don't even remember the content of it, but we were getting into it over something. And I just thought, you know what? What's my goal here? And I thought, I just want to get back to feeling connected. I don't really care about the resolve of this. And the problem was, in my head, the argument was still going on. So I'm upstairs brushing my teeth, having this dragged down knockout argument with this imaginary woman in my head. And I'm thinking, okay, is this argument moving me towards my goal of getting back to a feeling of connection? And it wasn't. So instead of indulging in it, I kind of let it play out. And I just automatically kind of developed a sense of humor about it because I realized this isn't really happening. There's not another human being here. I'm having an argument with a sock puppet. And in a really short space of time, I was able to just let it go on my side. And as so often happens, when I'd let it go on my side, the moment we were back together, it was gone on her side. And we were right back to that feeling of connection and love that makes being in a relationship such a cool thing. So that's the, what I'm putting out there today is the simplest negotiation strategy in the world. And if you guys are interested, you can call in and we'll talk more about that. Or you can just call in and we'll talk about having what you want and thriving. But the book, again, Getting More, How to Negotiate to Achieve Your Goals in the Real World by Stuart Diamond. And the simplest strategy is simply getting really clear about what is my goal for this negotiation and orienting everything you do around that goal. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Jonathan in LA. Jonathan, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, yeah. Hey, Michael, how are you doing?
I'm very well.
Oh, wow. Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank you for taking my call.
It's a pleasure. What's on your mind today?
You know what? I've been having this issue. It's been with my business for the past couple years now.
Okay.
And basically, I'm involved with this business, and there's like an actual proven business system. It's a plan that you just, you know, you follow it, and you can get a pretty good residual income in a couple years. Mm-hmm. But my problem is I'm unable to take the necessary steps or the action to get there.
Okay, so what? Give me an example. What's an action that you need to take that you're not taking?
Okay, the first one is basically we write what we call a names list, just all the names that we possibly know, and we just start making phone calls.
Okay, so have you written the names list?
Yes, I've written the names list, and I've actually put the top 10. You know, I've got my top 10 who I want to talk to first, and just kind of going through it. Normally, we have a mentor that guides us through this, but the person who sponsored me is she speaks only Chinese, and I target more Americans.
All right. So here's let me ask the obvious question. Which is, well, maybe this isn't the obvious question to you. It's the obvious question to me is at which point in the process do you get freaked out? Is it when you lift up the handset?
No, it's when I'm looking at the list.
Oh, okay. Okay. So what would happen if you just didn't do that? If you just literally just grabbed the first phone number, wrote it down on a piece of paper if you needed to, or just dialed it into the phone. And then all you had to do was press talk.
Yeah, I've done that, I've done that a couple times, and that seems to do better. I've actually talked and set up appointments and just kind of on the fly things. But when it's actual sit down and try to go through the calls, I'm unable to do that.
Yeah, so I'm not aware that looking at the list and going through it and things like that is a prerequisite for what you want to do. So okay. Very often the reason we get ourselves into trouble is we think we've got to do more than we actually have to do.
Right.
And we think we've got to overcome some sort of a psychological block in order to take an action. Actually, one of the great things about living and working in Hollywood is it's become very apparent to me over the last 10 years or so that you don't have to have it together on any level to be successful. Now, that's not my chosen way. I want people to thrive. So generally speaking, I'm not interested in somebody just being a successful, totally messed up human being. But I know that it's not only possible, it's actually probably more the rule than the exception.
Okay.
So if you didn't have to get it all together, if you didn't have to become more fearless, if you didn't have to overcome your call reluctance, and all you had to do was just dial and talk...
Yeah.
How many dial and talks would you like to do today?
Three would be fine.
Great. So here's my request, Jonathan. Okay. Mm-hmm. My email that you can reach me on is radio@supercoach.com.
Okay.
Okay. And what I want you to do is I want you to email me each day for the next 2 weeks at the end of the day. Now, I'm going to ask you to commit to this, so if you're not going to do it, let me know and we'll negotiate it. But what I want you to do is I want you to negotiate. I want you to email me at radio@supercoach.com at the end of each day. And all you have to put in the email is the number of dials that you've done.
Okay.
All right. And that's it. And we're going to do that for 2 weeks.
Okay.
All right. And then in two weeks, I want you to phone the show back.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to, you know, and let's talk about it.
Okay.
You up for that?
I'm up for that. I'm definitely up for that. I guess I think too far ahead because now I'm thinking once I make the call, what am I going to say?
We can talk about that. In fact, you know what? Let's just do it for a week.
Okay.
All right. Let's do it for a week. You phone back next week. And then if that's still a question, we can talk about that next week. How about that?
Okay. Perfect.
All right, perfect. I'll look out for your emails, Jonathan.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Take care. You know, so much of this procrastination thing, this obstacle thing, we get so caught up in the can of worms that is our own thinking, when in fact, simple action is 99 times out of 100 all that's required. Let's go over to the United Kingdom and let's speak to Windsor. Windsor, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. I had a question on my mind, and I realized it was two questions. It was like how to make a miraculous difference in my levels of well-being and like financial wealth. But for a specific question, it would be as an extension of my innate well-being.
Windsor, can you get any closer to your mouthpiece or microphone?
I can. Is that
perfect. That's much better. There you are. There you are. Now you don't sound like you're on another continent. That's beautiful.
Okay. Nice. Thanks. Well, okay, here's a question. Is as an extension excuse me, of my any inherent well-being, is mainly I'm looking to make a miraculous difference in my levels of financial wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the related to career. Like it's how I can make more money from the talents that I have in a way that I would love to do.
Okay. So far, I mean, let me just play back what I heard just to make sure I'm on track and to make sure that people who aren't from Scotland know what you just said.
No.
It's basically you'd like to be able to make more money using the talents that you have. Okay. So what do you think stops you from doing that? You know, is it just a matter of time that it's just taking longer than you want? Is it a lack of strategy? You know, what do you make of the fact that you haven't already done that?
It's the first thing that comes to mind is it's something that I could do and it's something that I want to do. And I'm getting over the what you've just said, like for example, not having to overcome a psychological block in order to actually do the actions. So it's basically to take some more action towards that.
Stay with me, Winter. What are three actions that if you just did those three things with any consistency, you reckon that a month from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, it would have made a real difference?
One would be approaching people that I really want to, for example, make music with, and asking if there's an opportunity there to do so, that people that I would really love to play music with.
So great. So one is approaching people you'd like to work with. Yeah. What's number two?
The second one would probably be having a website established, though that's not a lot. Something that could be done every day. That's more like a one-off. So number two could probably be skill development.
Skill development. Okay. So like working on your music.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. What would number three be?
Get
more students is great. I'm glad you came up with one like that, because a lot of people do that, and instead of an action, they describe a goal, and you can't do a goal. You can only do an action. So you can approach people like every single day. We'll both know whether or not you approached somebody. Every day, we'll both know if I had a video of what you did. We'd both know that you've worked on skill development, but we wouldn't know in the same way behaviorally whether or not you got more students, because that's a result of some action. So what would be an action that would almost inevitably lead to you getting more students?
Create an ad and post an ad publicly in either online or a local music store.
Okay, great.
Something like that.
And if you found a way of posting a new ad or the same ad in a different place, if you did that once a week, do you think it would be pretty likely you'd wind up with more students within 6 months?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah,
and if you found a way to do it once a day, do you think it would happen even quicker?
Absolutely. The students, that's more something, as I say, like a means to an end while approaching the bigger goal, which would be playing music with people I love.
So here's again, what I'm doing, Windsor, is I'm just trying to make this so simple that neither of us can get confused and think there's something psychological going on. Mm-hmm. In other words, so here's your homework, okay?
Yeah.
And I want you to do this. You can choose the time. I'm going to suggest that if you do this for 3 weeks, that'll be enough of an experiment.
Okay.
So you create a little grid, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you can decide to take a day off if you want. And you have three rows on the grid. And the first row is people I'd like to work with approached. The second is practice time. And the third is new ad posted.
All right. Yep.
And all you do is each day you either put a tick or you put a number.
Okay.
Okay. And at the end of 3 weeks, a similar thing to what I asked our friend in LA to do. In 3 weeks, I want you to email me that chart.
Okay.
Okay. And you're going to email it to radio@supercoach.com.
Okay. Yep.
And it's going to be very obvious at the end of that 3 weeks why you are where you are. And whichever way it is, then you can call back in and we can talk about that, okay?
Okay. I really appreciate that.
That's an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for your time, Michael.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Nice to hear from you. So again, what we're doing here is we're just simplifying it down, all right? The reason we don't move forward is not psychological. It's just because we don't take steps in that direction. And having a bit of a structure, neither of the things that we just did on those last two calls were fancy, but just having a bit of an accountability structure, somebody to email once a day, a chart to fill in, you'll find one that works for you. But just creating that simple accountability and structure makes the whole thing so much easier. Let's go to Clarksville, Tennessee, and let's talk to Patsy. Patsy, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Thank you for taking my call. Yes. My husband and I have started a financial plan out of debt, which I think is, an absolutely awesome idea. We do need to take the steps for that. But since we've, made that pact, that agreement to do this, I've come across a new vehicle that would just bring so much joy to me to drive around town in.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't quite figure out a way to convince my husband that it's something that I should have without causing a divorce.
Mm-hmm. And that's not the outcome you're after.
No, I don't want a divorce.
That's cool. It sounds like your goal in this negotiation would be you put in your words, but my words would be to be driving around. What's the vehicle of your choice?
A Mini Cooper.
A Mini Cooper. I love Mini Coopers. So okay, it would be to be driving around in a Mini Cooper with a husband that loves you.
Yes.
Okay. So if you knew that was the goal, what occurs to you if that was just it? If it's like, Patsy, your job, right? And I'm going to pay you for this. So your actual profession, your professional job is to negotiate this deal where you're going to be driving in this car with a husband that loves you. What are the first one or two things that pop into your mind that might move things in that direction?
That's the hard part because I'm kind of stymied because the vehicle that I have is paid for.
Here's what I want you to do, Patsy. We're coming up on a break. Can you stay with us over the break?
Yes, absolutely.
So over the break, what I want you to do is I want you to take that time not to look at all the great reasons why you can't do it, because I'm sure there are plenty.
Yeah.
But to just imagine, okay, my only job is to negotiate this deal where at the end of it, I'm driving in a Mini Cooper with a husband that loves me. And I want you to come up with at least three things that you think would move you in that direction. And we're going to pick up with that when we come back, okay?
All right, great.
All right, so we're going to be back with Patsy. We're going to be back with more of your questions and more negotiation tips right after this break. Bye-bye for now.
Real strategies for real change. This is Supercoach with Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about the simplest negotiating secret in the world, strategy in the world, secret strategy, whatever. And we're talking with you. The numbers to get in if you want to call in the second half of the show, 866-254-1579. And just before I go back to Patsy in Tennessee, who's going to tell us a little bit about her strategies for negotiation success that she's come up with over the break. If you like the kind of things we talk about on the show, you can always learn more at supercoach.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Michael_Neal. And with that said, let's go back to Patsy. Patsy, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm still here.
Okay, great. What did you come up with?
Well, I came up with a couple different things, and it's things that I've touched on before with him, but maybe you can help me fine-tune them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first thing that I had put up was get a second job to pay for the new car.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure that would be good because of the possibility of taking, you know, time away from my home life. But
yeah,
that seems like the most obvious thing. If you need more income, you work.
Okay.
The second thing was a trade-off. I was just trying to figure out what trade-off I could give up in order to, you know, have the car come in, have something old go out.
Okay. So, yeah.
Third was, sell my old car,
mm-hmm,
and get the new one.
Okay. And what... with the selling the old car and getting the new one, what would be the objection to that?
Because my old car is big. It's a Tahoe, and we use it for hauling things, people, and the new car would be very small.
Right.
So, obviously, we wouldn't get the same amount of money for the old car as we would for the, you know, pay for the new one, so there would still be some cash, you know, involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
I'd like to hang on to the old one.
Okay, great. So that's not then maybe that's part of, you know, that may be part of your goal then.
Right.
So it may be that actually your actual goal is to be driving around in a Mini Cooper with a husband that loves you and a Tahoe in the garage.
Sounds like a plan to me.
There you go. Okay. But see, now that makes a big difference, because if that's part of the goal, then great. Then that's not a strategy for success anymore, because then there wouldn't be a Tahoe in the garage.
Right.
And, you know, steamrolling your husband wouldn't be an option, because then you wouldn't have the husband who loves you. And
right,
just giving up wouldn't be an option, because then you wouldn't have the Mini Cooper that you're driving around in.
Right.
So it sounds like the strategy that you've gotten, it seems to me a pretty sound strategy, is, hey, if there's some way that this doesn't cost us anything extra, then you reckon that this would go down smooth.
I think it would be smoother.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's one line that you can pursue. So you can begin to look at that. Okay, just generally, given that what I want is to be driving around in my Mini Cooper with a husband that loves me in a Tahoe in the garage, so I can really start looking at ways to make this trade-off so that this doesn't really cost us anything more. But another thing that I could look at is this, and you would find your way of asking this, but I find this an incredibly useful question in a negotiation. What would have to happen for this to be a no-brainer yes?
Mm.
So not saying that it can or that we would, but like, there's got to be some set of circumstances, like, and Patsy, understand this is not advice, this is not a suggestion, this is just me talking, and I should probably shut up now, but I'm not going to. But for example, all right, listen, if you agree to be my sex slave 5 days a week, can we go for this? If, you know, if I cleaned the chicken coop and promised that my mother would never, ever come to stay with us again, you know, it doesn't have to even make sense. But there's going to be something in the book. Stuart Diamond talks about this as trading items of unequal value. And what that means is that what's most important to you may not be what's most important to the other person, and vice versa. And in fact, that's normally the case. So right now you're acting as if, and you might be right, but you're acting as if the most important thing is the money.
That's what it feels like to me.
Right. So I'm just suggesting that you check that out. And and the way that you do that isn't by saying, is it the money? Because the answer probably would be yes. But it's like, under what circumstances would this be fine or even great? Like is there any situation that you can imagine, or what situation can you imagine where this would be absolutely no problem, and then work from there? Would you be willing to ask a version of that question?
Oh, yeah, I've already written it down. That sounds like...
Oh, okay, beautiful, Patsy. So that's your homework.
Yes.
You go do that, and you let us know how it goes.
I will.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. And, you know, so often we get caught up in thinking that what we think matters is what matters most to the other person. And that's just very rarely the case. More often than not, there'll be something that matters to them a lot more than what we find difficult. And often you can make a trade or a swap or a concession in a negotiation that both parties are delighted with, because what's a big deal to them isn't a big deal to you, and vice versa. Let's go to France, and let's speak with Diane. Diane, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hello, Michael. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I've been a big fan of your work for some years, and I was doing the Creating the Impossible goal, and I made my goal about trying to live for a month from inspiration, mm-hmm. rather than, you know, from all the other reasons that we live.
Yeah.
And I've heard you speak about how the universe opens up to meet us halfway.
Well, I have a feeling you're about to tell me that the universe didn't show up.
Oh, no, the universe was worse. It did everything it could to stop me, starting with a dose of flu right from the beginning and losing our internet for a week when the end of the course call was on. And it's just been nonstop things going wrong. And so my question is, what am I doing wrong? Is this some kind of law of attraction that I'm attracting all sorts of horrible things because that's where my attention is? Or do you have any suggestions?
So let's talk about this a little, because in my experience, the law of attraction doesn't work the way most people think it does. Mm-hmm. Most people sort of hear the law of attraction, and what they hear is Christmas catalog from God. Okay? I've not seen that as a consistent way that things work. And in fact, I think it's counterproductive, because people start to beat themselves up because it doesn't work that way, and they assume that it's not working that way because they're doing something wrong. And then what happens is, then they do go into a downward spiral, then their energy does drop, and that's when the real law of attraction kicks in, which is basically when you're sort of looking at the world through crap-covered glasses, everything looks like crap.
Yeah.
So what does, in my experience, make a difference is staying in touch with your inspiration and wisdom as best you can, and allowing yourself to be guided by that. Now, life is going to continue to do what life does. So just because you're following your inspiration and wisdom doesn't mean that nobody you love is going to get sick, including you. It doesn't mean that you're never going to lose a job or lose money. It doesn't mean that everything that you try is going to work. It just means that whatever happens, you're going to be in the perfect place to dance with it.
Mm.
And an inspired life over time does look pretty amazing, and people will look at it and go, wow, God, he lives in that place, and he's got that kind of relationship, and they've got that kind of money, and they do those things. But in every life, there's also all the things that aren't seen or aren't particularly talked about, which are, you know, people that we love get sick and die. Things don't go according to plan. That's just life. That's not the law of attraction. That's the law of life. Crap happens.
There seems to just be an abnormal amount of particularly bureaucracy that has come up. I was offered a fantastic contract that I was very excited about, and then they turned around and said, do you have such and such a number? And I didn't not only didn't have the number, I had no idea how to get it, mm-hmm. and wasted days and days. Instead of doing my inspiration, I wasted a lot of time trying to get that number.
So let's slow down for a second, Diane, because very often the reason that we aren't living our inspiration is because we're trying to figure stuff out.
Yeah.
And that's a very different use of the brain. So if we slow down for a minute, do you know what it feels like to be inspired, to be sort of in that calmer, more reflective place in yourself?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So I want you just as best you can imagine yourself there. And I want you to imagine that in that space, you get a call that says, hey, we'd love to have you. We need you to have this. We need you to have an ICNF number. Okay. What comes to mind immediately?
Oh, even just hearing you say it, panic and horror.
Right. Okay. See, now that's really interesting, Diane, because I can tell you what comes to mind for me is the question, hey, what's an ICNF number?
Things about bureaucracy just freak me out.
Yeah. So what happened there, and it just happened again in real time, so we got to see it together, is you dropped straight out of your inspiration and straight up into your head.
Oh, yes.
And your inspiration doesn't live up there. And the reason that you took a few days wasn't because you were being inspired and the universe didn't meet you. It's because you completely gave up on inspiration for a few days. And that's why we keep doing it. That's why, you know, I keep running programs. That's why I keep talking to people about the same things again and again and again, because we don't notice it.
Yes.
We think we're doing one thing when we're actually doing another. And as soon as somebody holds the mirror up, we can see it. It's not so rocket science. But until the mirror's held up, it's sometimes hard to see.
It is hard to see, and it's such a sort of ephemeral thing. That's why I made it an impossible goal, because I felt it would be close to impossible.
Right, and I'm going to give you the simplest strategy I know.
Yes.
For this, and it's something I talk about in the book Supercoach, but it's really this straightforward. If you're feeling at peace, calm, kind of an inner smile, doesn't mean joyful or blissed out, though sometimes it'll be that. But if you're feeling basically peaceful, that's a green light. That's what it feels like when you're in an inspired space and when the thoughts coming through you are inspired. If you're feeling okay, fine, no problem, which is really kind of a dead feeling almost, but it's like it's fine, you're not in pain, but you're also not in flow. That means you're kind of in a half and half. You probably have a bit of wisdom coming through and a lot of personal thinking.
Yeah.
So that's like an amber light or a yellow light. That's like proceed with caution, because probably what's in your head isn't quite your wisdom.
Yeah.
If you're feeling tense, tight, uncomfortable, angry, upset, that's a red light. You're thinking, you're up in your thinking. And what makes sense to you to do in that moment won't make sense to you anymore once you've calmed down.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
All right. So enjoy your traffic light.
Oh, yes. I've heard you say that in London. I don't know why I didn't apply it. Thank you so much.
It's an absolute pleasure, Diane. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you.
Oh, and you know, so often this stuff... God, sleeping on it is like one of the best pieces of advice on the planet. Because so often, whatever state we're in when we go to bed, we wake up in a different state. I know there's a really piece of a very accepted wisdom about never go to bed angry, you know, on a relationship. And there, I'm sure there's plenty of times where that's a really good strategy. But sometimes I find the best thing in the world to do is go to bed angry, because you don't wake up angry. You wake up back in your natural state. Back in your peace, back in your well-being, and the thing that seemed like such a big irreconcilable difference the night before is absolutely nothing but an apology in the next morning. Let's go down to Clearwater, Florida. Let's talk to Taylor. Taylor, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, thank you so much, Michael. You have been an inspiration to me. I listen to you all the time, but particularly today, I have made so many notes here. It's incredible. You're full of wisdom today. All the time, I guess. My situation is this, although I think you may have answered it. I'm trying to write a book, and I keep putting it down and just saying, oh, well, the inspiration isn't there. I can't write if there's not the inspiration there. So I make excuses, like, okay, the house is a wreck. I need to do something with that. Well, okay. I liked your idea of trading off, items of unequal value. That made a lot of sense to me. I could have someone clean up this mess and be much more inspired, no doubt. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm trying to negotiate with myself as to, all right, how do I sell this to myself to stay accountable to write this book?
Okay, well, so
I think, it's important. I mean,
Well, so here's let's apply our simplest negotiation strategy about just getting really clear about what the goal is. So the goal is that you have a book written by when?
A book written about what?
No, by when?
By when?
I'm going to assume you know. I assume you're going to know. About what? So.
Yes, I do know about. Yes. By when? I guess I never have put a finish date on it.
That makes it a lot harder, right? Because
sure,
like if the goal is to get a book written before I die, I mean.
No. sooner.
Sooner. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Sooner is better.
Okay, so let's look. Let's make up a date.
Okay. Gosh, I wonder what a reasonable amount of time is. Certainly not much more than a year. Maybe 9 months.
Okay, great.
You can create a new life in 9 months.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So we want to go for December 31st.
Oh boy. Okay.
Or December 15th.
I like the 31st.
Okay.
Pretty lucky.
Great. So
okay.
December 31st. So the goal is to have a book written by December 31st, 2011.
Okay.
Okay. So now everyone writes a little bit different, but do you have a sense of how long the book is going to be in terms of pages or words? So like, your typical self-help book will probably be 50 to 60,000 words. Novels can be much more, can be less. Do you have a sense for your book of length?
Yeah, probably with you on the 50 to 60,000 word sort of situation.
Okay, so let's just call it 60,000 because it's easier to have less than more.
Okay.
So I'm gonna do something here. We're gonna just play a simple math game. All right, and so this is. Oh, don't worry. I'm gonna do the hard part with my magic calculator. But. Let's give you 2 months to just edit.
Okay.
Okay. So we're gonna give you 7 months to write and 2 months to edit.
Okay.
All right. And of those 7 months, which is about 220 days, we're gonna give you 40 days off.
Okay.
All right. So I'm again. You don't have to stick to these numbers. But
okay.
So basically what I'm going to say is you're going to write for 180 days. You're going to write new stuff for 180 days of the about 280 days between now and your deadline.
Okay.
So if you want to have 60,000 words and you're going to be writing for 180 days, and here's where I'm going to the calculator here. I'm typing in 60,000. And I'm dividing it by 180, and that's 333 words a day.
Oh my gosh!
333. Okay. Now, in my experience, because I've written over 10 books. I've written over a million words in my career, and I know that 1,000 words a day is a pretty good target for me. Like I can do more, but 1,000 a day. So we're talking 333 words a day.
That
my experience is that,
that's
going to take you less than half an hour a day.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
And that's, remember, that's giving you 40 days off between now and November, and it's giving you all of November and December just to edit.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So you know, could you commit, would you commit to writing a minimum of 333 words a day?
Most definitely.
Then I will guarantee, I will guarantee you, Taylor, you will have a book by December 31st, 2011, if you do that.
Wow. You know, I never have been any good at math. You saved my life on that one, but...
Well,
the
calculator function on my computer saved your life, but...
That's great, either way. Like I said, that's more than doable. That does break it right down to extremely doable.
Fantastic. Yes. Well, I look forward to it. I hope you will do me the honor of sending me a copy when it's done.
I certainly will, sir. Thank you so much for your wonderful coaching all the way around.
Thank you very much, Taylor. Bye-bye.
All right.
You know, it's so often, I mean, people ask me, well, how do you do what you do? And it looks different to me at different times, but very often what it looks to me like I do is I listen and I point. I listen to what you guys say, and then I just point you towards what is really obvious to you once you see it, but for whatever reason, you're just not seeing it. And it's nice to know that however big your problem seems, it's never more than a listen and a point away to the solution. Let's try and get one more call in. Let's go to Teresa in Illinois. Teresa, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi.
Is it Teresa or Teresa?
It is either. Teresa.
All right, I'm just going to call you
in
Bob.
Rome, Teresa. I have a praying mantis named Bob. That's he's in my garden in the summer. Yeah. At any rate, I had talked with you, and you had told me to call back in a week to tell you how things were doing in January. I couldn't call you back on that Thursday because actually it came to fruition, the appointment that I needed with my doctor, because I am the person who is trying to return to Rome.
Fantastic.
And so I had a very, very, really productive 2-hour appointment with my doctor, and even more than I had anticipated, had been put on the table, and he had made lots of suggestions that I had not wanted to put out at that time. He offered himself. My problem is it is 6 weeks later. I do have an appointment tomorrow, and so it is very timely your program today, because what I need is for some things to be done. Well, some things to get done. It is just
so Teresa, since we have very little time, all I'm going to ask you to do, we've got about a minute, give me the goal. Like, what is it that you want at the end of the negotiation with the doctor that you don't have right now?
For things to be done sooner than they're getting done.
Okay, so by when would you like things done?
Well, there are a plethora of things, so I would like the most urgent things done by the end of March.
Okay, so then your homework between now and your meeting tomorrow is to work out a timetable. And, you know, probably better if you can be a little bit loose with it, but clear.
Yeah.
But a clear timetable. And then your meeting with the doctor will be your doing what you need to do to explicitly bring you closer to that timetable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Let the rest come up in the moment.
Yeah.
But if you get clear on that, the whole process is going to get a whole lot easier. Okay?
Okay. That
All
sounds
right.
good.
Okay,
May I also negotiate for one of your books?
yeah, you know what? Stay on the line. Absolutely. Stay on the line, and we will send you a copy of your book. How easy was that? All right. So thank you for listening. We're coming to the end of another show. Again, you like what we do, check out supercoach.com. Do check out Stuart Diamond's wonderful book, Getting More, How to Negotiate to Achieve Your Goals in the Real World. Till next time, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.